out to him this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. I was thinking that last week when we were having her singing that song that Brother Tim and Sister Brittany sung, I was thinking about that song the other day. I hadn't heard it in years and was thinking maybe somebody should sing that. And then, of course, they sung it today. So, you know, the scripture says that come to pass that before you ask, I'll answer. Sometimes I think we're getting closer and closer to that. So, Lord, bless you for being in the house of the Lord today. It's a beautiful summer day outside. I said, we might as well be in Florida or whatever at Christmas time with the temperatures like that. But actually, it's been really nice, and we thank the Lord for it. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's the stature of a perfect man. This is the text Brother Branham used, and so that's what we're going to title this today. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I wanted to read one scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. She'll have it there on the screen. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we want to just take this service now as always and just give it to you. Lord, you're the reason why we're here. We don't want to hear the words of a man, but we ask God that you come through your great Holy Spirit and speak to us, and that you'd go beyond the faculties of a man, of his thinking, of his wisdom, or lack thereof. Lord, just put all that to the side and let you speak through us and to us today, Lord. We ask, God, that you would just further us in your gospel today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I'm going to apologize now for the extra reading of quotes today, but it's required. And really, that's kind of a paradox to say you're apologizing for reading scriptures and quotes. But anyway, you bear with me, and we'll try to get through this in a timely fashion. Stature of a perfect man. You know, what people need today more, it's probably been this way, obviously, through every age, but what people need more today than any other thing in life is an encounter with God.
Right.
People need to come in contact with God and Him alone. And, you know, more than job, more than food, more than friends, more than entertainment, more than anything, we need an encounter with God. Even believers, even those who have a new birth and have received the Holy Ghost, Even we needing daily encounters with God. But definitely the world out there, the people that we rub shoulders with, they need to come into contact with God. And, you know, we live in Satan's Eden.
Right.
And, you know, you have to stop and wonder sometimes, why did that phrase came from a prophet. That didn't come from some denominational teacher. It didn't come from some theologian or some book that was written somewhere. That phrase came from a end time vindicated prophet of God who said that we live now in Satan's Eden. And you ask yourself, why did he do that? Why did he title it that such a descriptive title, such a descriptive name? And he did that because he wanted us to understand that as God had spent the time that he did, 6 days, creating heaven and earth and forming the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden was a perfect place for God's children to live, he wanted us to understand that Satan has worked for 6,000 years or 6 days, forming and creating and creating an environment that is perfect for Satan's agenda, perfect for man to sin in. And so it's so specially honed, and everything that Satan everything that he wanted to inject into humanity, and every device and everything he wanted to put in them to cause them to be fallen and remain fallen and not find God and not get to God, not come into an encounter with God, all of that's been perfected now. He's took 6,000 years to do it because he's not a creator. He can't create. So he just had to take and, you know, but now he's arrived at the place where he knows everywhere you're at, everything you say, just probably all your thoughts almost, right? Because he's using all that to become like God. And so we live in a generation where everything has been designed in such a way to trip people up and keep them from finding God and get them away from God and make them fall away from God. And that's Satan's Eden. And so it's all designed that way. And as I've said many times, people act like that there's not an enemy behind every tree that you're walking past, but there is. I mean, if we were literally out in the jungle somewhere fighting like they did in Vietnam, you would look, and every time you'd see a tree or a clump of bushes or a little building or something like that, you'd be thinking, there's probably or possibly an enemy behind there ready to get me.
Right.
But here in our walk, we act like that everything that comes at us from this world, every device, every song, every movie, everything that comes our way, oh, it's okay. There's no devil in that trying to trip us up. And we just accept it. See, that's what people do. And it's making a very big mistake by doing that. You know, you should, as we talk about playing on the safe side or whatever. And so you should just say, look, if it comes from the world, there's something wrong with it. I got to be careful with it.
Right.
And handle it carefully. And so we live in Satan's Eden. And so really the only thing that can break the power of Satan's influence on humanity is for people to come into contact with Almighty God. And that's the only thing that can do it. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, so that he could pay the price and that he could come and he could live in people. We realize that God is always, in every age, he's always had somebody he could live through. And when God lives through people, he's propagating his plan. He's moving his plan further. He's acting out his plan and unfolding more things. And so he's always had somebody. It was God and Abraham that did the things that he did there, which what God did with Abraham, he does with his children.
Right.
It was God that was living there in Moses, that did all the things that were there that you read about in Moses. That was God that was living there in David. God that was living there in Solomon. Giving us the type of a rejected king, and then giving us the type of the millennium and a king setting. It was God doing all those things, propagating his plan. He's more than able to do that. In any age, in every age, he's able and has done it. He has lived through the lives of people, and the life that they live is moving his plan further. And there's not a thing Satan can do to stop it. And so that's the way it is today. Right now, today, on this particular day of the year, God has somebody on this earth that can and will live for him, and he will advance his program even further through their lives today. We must believe that we can be that people.
Amen.
That we can be those that God wants to work through and live through. And so God desires to live through his people today. That's why it's so important when I hear Brother Branham when he preaches a sermon of Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he says in there such a momentous understanding that God had a threefold purpose. His first purpose was to reveal himself in Christ. The second purpose was to get preeminence in the church. And then the third one would be to restore the Eden condition. And that's so important to realize that even in this day, God had planned to reveal himself in Christ, and then through what he did in Christ to get into his church and cause his church to come to the place where he has preeminence in them. That means that what he wants to live, that's what they live. That means that they don't live their own lives, they don't live according to society, but he's now got preeminence in them, and they live according to his life because he's the one that has preeminence. And so that's why these things are there, that he wants to live in a people today, and he's going to have a people that he has preeminence in. And that time, I believe, is right now. Absolutely right now. And so as soon as he can get full preeminence in his people, then the rapture is going to happen, because he's going to take that husband, Christ, and that wife, that church that he's got preeminence in, he's going to take them and he's going to put them right back into an Eden condition, and not Satan's Eden,
right,
but in God's Eden condition in a millennium. He's going to do that. And so that's what we're looking for, is for him to have preeminence in his church. And so that's why when we read in Ephesians chapter 4, as we read just a little while ago, that he has put into his church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting. I appreciate the songs of Brother Tim sung there, you know, because he's changing me to perfecting me, right? And that's what he's doing. And to know ye not that ye are the temple of God. And so he would set these ministries in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And he said, till we all, not just some of us, but talking about the bride, till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know what unity is? Not divided. You got to know exactly what it is to have faith in.
Right.
So you can't have split and divided revelations. God had to restore back to his church the word, and then we can all have focus upon the correct, vindicated word and have unity in the faith in that word and not divided every which way. So he's put these ministries here so that we can come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, again, not divided, unto a perfect man. We realize Jesus Christ is the perfect man. But what Brother Branham was trying to show us, and Peter's trying to show us here, and what I'm trying to share with you this morning is to, perhaps you know this, but to, you know, bring it to the surface in your thinking, is that God here at the end time wants to have a people, a church that grows up into the full stature, the full measure of Jesus Christ. And so it says, unto the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if we're shy in revelation of what Christ is, we're not there yet. Right? As we say so many times, where Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God's got an end time church who's going to be equal with Jesus Christ, because the wife becomes equal, right? She marries, she becomes one with him. She sits with him on his throne. And so he's got these people, and that's why these scriptures are saying these things, that he's going to have a people that comes to that full stature of the perfect man, which is the fullness of Christ. So Brother Ram covers this in length in the sermon called Stature of a Perfect Man. So, you know, for a man to be able to manifest himself, you know, he has to have, and I mean fully manifest himself, a man has to have his feet, his legs, his arms, his neck, his head, his torso. He has to have a voice. He has to have a mind, an intellect. He has to have eyes and ears. He has to have all those things to be able to fully manifest and be everything that he wants to be or needs to be.
Right.
So in any situation that would arise, if that man was missing something, he might not be able to respond properly to that situation. Right? So a man has to be full stature to be able to fully express what he is. And so You can see where that will take you when you in this. And so Brother Graham was telling us that when you build a house, and I'll read the quote to you in a minute, that in order for a house to be complete, in order for it to really be moved in, into, and everything has to be there. Everything has to be put in, everything has to be working and functional. And, you know, and if you move in without all those things there, well, then situation might arise where, well, I need to store some groceries, but the pantry's not done.
Right.
You see? So, you know, perfection in the scriptures, a lot of times perfection means complete. We think, oh, I'll never make a mistake. That's not necessarily what it's talking about, but it's talking about being complete, having everything there and operating like it should be. And so Brother Graham tells us here, and all of these quotes would come from the stature of a perfect man. Brother Graham says, now, building a house, you put your uprights and everything, and Brother Woods and some of these carpenters and contractors here can tell you how to build your house, see? But I'm going to tell you how to build your spiritual house, where God can dwell. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to make you like himself. He wants you to be reflecting his being, his likeness and image to perfect in you, as Brother Tim sung. That's what he wants to do. And so Brother Graham is saying, listen, these guys can tell you how to build a house, but I'm going to tell you how to build your spiritual house. I'm going to tell you how you can build a place where God can come and dwell. And as I just said, in order for God to come and dwell, it's got to be complete. Because if he wants to express himself through you, then everything's got to be there that he's got to be able to express through. Because if a situation rises and you don't have all those characters and attributes and abilities, you're not going to be able to respond properly. And that's not God. God responds perfectly every time. So Brother Ram is telling us this. So in order for Jesus Christ to come, and I'll use the terminology we're familiar with, to cap off the entire church, these seven virtues that we read about there in 2 Peter chapter 1 have to be in the church, have to be in us as individuals. Brother Bram takes us and shows that the same way that God takes an individual and builds his character and builds himself in them, he's doing the same thing through the church ages. Bringing the church ages to the end time message where the fullness of Christ can come in the church as a whole. And he does the same thing in our walk. And this is what we need to realize, that we need to be seeking God and looking to God to add these things into our walk so that we actually gain these virtues, because we all want to come to that place where Jesus Christ has preeminence in us. Not just our church as a whole, but each one of us as an individual. That if he wants to move, he can move. And if he wants to speak, he can speak. Right? If he wants to turn the cheek, he can turn the cheek. Right? If he wants to speak and stop storms, he can speak and stop storms. If he wants to lay his life down, he can lay his life down. He must be able to do all these things in our lives. And of course, the best way to prove this there is there will be a test come to show that he can do that. Right? And so, these things have to be there so that he can manifest himself in any and all ways, all of his characteristics, every aspect of his nature, he must be able to work through us. And so, in order to do that, we have to have these seven virtues. You know, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, charity.
Right.
So, I'm going to read a lot of quotes about what Brother Ren says this and make my own. You know, put my own comments in there of how the Lord speaks this to me. But I'll be reading it from that same one there. So we realize that the foundation is faith. Because if you don't believe God, if you don't believe in his word, if you don't, you know, then God can't work in you and he can't mold in you these characteristics if you don't even believe him. So you have to have faith. You have to believe. I mean, you have to be and you have to be a Christian. Basically, you have escaped the world through lust. You've had an experience with God, you know. And a lot of people think, well, you have to get all these virtues before you can have the Holy Ghost, and so You know, we spiritually, we're just like we are naturally. We're born and we're alive. We're sons and daughters, but we're not to maturity yet. We're in a process. So we have life in us. We belong in the family. We're part of God. We have the experience. We're saved. We're part of the family. But God wants to bring us to the place where He in the fullness can come in what He's done in part. See, we all have tasted of the world to come. We all have a touch of the Holy Ghost in our lives, but He had it without measure. We don't have it without measure, right? It's limited. But He's bringing us to the place where He's going to be able to bring a capstone experience into us where it's now Him and nothing else. But the only way He can do that is to work and mold in us these attributes along the way. And once we get those attributes in us under his tutorship and leadership, then He can come in a fullness,
right,
and baptize us, and it becomes a full manifestation of the living God, living tabernacle of the living God. So the foundation is faith. You got to believe. And by faith, you accept the work of God. And by faith, you let Him deal with you. And you let Him begin to mold in you the virtue and the knowledge and the patience and godliness. By faith, your walk daily, interacting with Him, you allow Him to bring and build these things in you. But if you don't have faith at all, there's no way He can even start building on that. You've got to have faith before He can build those. And that's what He does. So we all have faith that you wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't be in the house of God serving the Lord. So, and what God is doing is He's creating Himself in you. That's what He's doing. He's daily growing that life of God to the place that He can now adopt. Same thing as adoption. Tutoring you and bring you to a place where someday He can stand back and He's saying, there's my son, and whatever he speaks, that's the way it's going to be. To come to that place where He knows what's in you, and as Brother Ram says, seals those virtues in her, seals it in, right? And once they're sealed in her, that's who you are. Nothing can change that. Nothing can take that away. And so, the foundation is faith. But then we must add to, through the Holy Spirit dealing with us, add to our faith virtue. Brother Ram said a lot of people go to churches that don't even believe in virtue, don't even believe in it. But you must believe that in virtue is strength, power, strength. Remember Jesus going along and she touched the hem of His garment and said, I feel virtue went out of me. And so Brother Emma says, you got to have virtue. Before you can give it out, you have to have it. And so you have to understand that and believe that God works through virtue. God can work through our lives in such a way that our spiritual walk and what we contain in our experience, that someone else could look at that and interact with it, and someone else could touch God through that, and that virtue could come out of us to them, just like it did Jesus. Brother Graham's standing there on the platform, and he's beginning to get weak. Why? Because of virtue's going out of him. And so, but you got to believe that. And you want to walk in such a place that you have that to give out because you believe it, and you want to be walking with God, and you want to be able to affect lives, and someone to be able to touch your hem or your garment, as it were, if you understand what I'm saying, you're touching Christ, but to interact with you as a co-worker, as a family member, and be able to touch God, and there be strength in your life that ministers to them. And so you got to have that before you can. Believe that God operates that way, and that He wants to operate that way in you. So add to your faith virtue, then add to virtue knowledge. Brother Bram says, knowledge that God keeps His word. That everything He says, He does it. It's perfect. In other words, you don't have to take the word of God and say, well, it really doesn't mean that now. It really means this. Brother Bram said, don't try to add that kind of knowledge. Right? You've got to stay with the original plan, the original word. And if we jump ship and start trying to say it's something else, God can't honor that. The only thing God can honor is if we stay with the word. Right? And so you've got to have that knowledge to understand that God means what He said and He'll bring it to pass. He'll vindicate it. And don't jump ship. Don't let somebody talk you out of it and say, well, He really doesn't mean that. You know, like, well, God, you know, all God cares is about what you are inside. He don't care about what you look like outside. How many's heard that? That's jumping ship.
Yeah.
See, you got to stay with this word and build upon this virtue of the strength of God in your life, to build upon that, that God will do what he said, and I'm staying with that until he does it. And I'm not going somewhere else.
Right.
You got to stay with it. So add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Brother Rem said temperance. He said, I don't mean not drinking or whatever, which, but we don't do that either. But he said that means self-control, to not fly off the handle, to not gossip, to not, you know, not like I said, fly off the handle. A temperance, a control. And, you know, you say, well, it's like all of these. Why would he tell you got to have temperance? Well, because you're going to encounter situations where you're going to want to lash out, and you're going to want to, you know. And he's telling you that our whole entire being has got to come underneath these seven virtues. So that when we're confronted with times that we know that God works in power, right? And we know that he keeps his word, but here's this guy in front of me, and I just want to tear his head off. That in times like that, you don't do that. You have to walk out and live according to these virtues. And so these are things that has to grow in strength and build up in your life so you become perfected at it. There's times when I've had where people have done things to me that I've actually been able to just, with great temperance, be able to just, and there's other times I just lose it. We can all say that. But God wants to perfect these things in our lives. Why? Because Jesus Christ needs to use that. If he wants to come in and live in me, there's going to be times where he needs to exercise temperance. And if I've not got that gift under his control, he can't do it. Because he's not going to manifest through you something that's not his life. So if he's at a place where he needs to be temperate, then he needs you to be able to be temperate. If he comes to a place where he needs you to run the money changers out of the temple, he needs you to be able to do that. Right? And I don't say that he would have you do that, but he did because he was fulfilling scriptures. But you understand, he needs to be able to do these things. And so we have to be temperate because he needs to do that through us from time to time. To be able to not fly off the handle. And this temperance kind of goes with the next one, which is add to your temperance, patience. Because we already know that God keeps his word, but now we've got to deal with this guy in my face that I want to tear his head off, but I can't because I need to be temperate. And so now I've got to wait. I have to have patience. That God will take care of these things. He'll do everything that he said in his own time. And so patience is waiting on God, knowing that he will perform his word and not get nervous while you're waiting on him to fulfill it. Like Brother Rem said, you know, that Moses throws down his stick, it becomes a serpent, and then Pharaoh says, what on earth are you bothering my time with? Me, Pharaoh, and you're going to come up here and you know, and has these other guys throw their sticks down, they become serpents. And Brother Rem said, Moses said, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Pharaoh, I'll be your servant. I'm sorry I bothered you. He said, no, he stood right there knowing that God had seen him and God would do, you know. And so in times like that, you may not even know what God's fixing to do. But as long as you know you're standing where he sent you and told you to be, just stand there and wait because he's going to do something. No question. And something else I want to throw out here right now is that as we go on closer to rapture, as we see this whole world burning down and they've got evil intentions, we're going to come in more of these circumstances where these things will have to be there. Because the one thing I said a while ago at the beginning is we've got what the world needs to see is Jesus Christ. They don't need to see me and they don't need to see you. No matter what happens, they need to see Jesus Christ. So these virtues have to be there in us. Because if they're not, they're going to see me. They're going to see you. They're going to see all these things that won't do them any good. Won't tell them about Christ. They won't be able to see him in literal form, living his life through people if it's always us doing what we want. So we have to be concerned, and we should be wanting these things to be promoted in our life. And Lord, help me get to the end, and I'll read quotes where Brother Ben is telling us. This is the attitude that we should have. Even Peter said so a while ago. To diligently, move toward these things and have a desire for these things. Because he said, if you get this, you'll never fall. That's what Peter said. We read it. If you get to these virtues, if you have these things in you and they abound, they'll make you that you will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never fall. That's what he said. If we come to this place, if the church ages come to this place, what happens next? Rapture. And look at the very next thing he said. They'll make you to where you never fall, and souls shall be ministered to you an entrance into that everlasting kingdom. He said, they're right there telling us that when we hit that spot, the rapture is going to happen. That God will minister to us right on into that everlasting kingdom, a body change. Right. But we got to have them. These things have to be there. So we have patience, waiting on God, knowing that he's going to perform his word, and not get nervous. Stand still and see God do what he plans to do. So add to your patience godliness. And I know I'm going through these really quick, but I need to, just so that we get out here at on time or close to it. So add to your patience godliness. And Brother Bram said godliness is to be like God. Right? He reads a scripture in Matthew, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." You say, "Oh, I can't do that." Yes, you can, he said. You can. And so, to be like Jesus, when he says to be, like God, godliness, to be like Jesus, the characteristics that Jesus had, these virtues kind of overlap in my mind. But here's what he said. He said, that's godliness. When he was spitting on the side of the face, he turned to the other. When he was spoken rough to, he didn't speak, he didn't rile back. See, godly. And here's one I want to get to. Always looking for one thing. This is godliness. Always looking for one thing, and it's in quotation where Brother Brown. He reads this scripture. He's always looking for one thing. I always do that which is pleasing to the Father. See, yes, sir, always. That's godliness. So godliness is to be like Jesus in the fact that Jesus said, there's one thing I want my whole life to be about, and that is to always be obedient to the Father. Right? Because the Son, him as the Son, that was his whole purpose. The Word was to come out and display the thought of the Father, and that Word was the Son. And so a good Son will always display his Father. A good Word will always be the thought. And so that's our whole job, is that God in us, one of these virtues, is that we come to this place where we realize, I have one purpose here in this world, and that is to always please my Heavenly Father. That I'd always be about doing his will, not my will. So if you're doing that, then obviously you're going to express all these virtues, right? Because that's the whole plan. But so that's godliness. Amen. To be like God. The next one after that, after being godliness, is brotherly kindness. Brother Branham said, in brotherly kindness, to put yourself in your brother's shoes. He says, adding brotherly kindness. All right, when we get to that, remember, he's talking about a church, the pyramid, the seven church ages. He's talking to us as an individual. And he said, when you get to that part, when you get so built up that you come to brotherly kindness, you've got all these other virtues that God is molding in you and you're seeking him for, and they're building up and coming strong in your life. And he said, when you get to brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter. And now you say, my brother sinned against me, said Peter. Shall I forgive him? And he said, seven times a day? Of course, Jesus said 70 times 7. See, brotherly kindness. Now you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him, see? No, be kind to him. Go anyhow. So brotherly kindness is, you know, where the commandment, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. Do you know, if everybody on this planet would do just that one right there, this would be a different planet. That if people would always realize that what they're asking someone else to do, they won't do that if it's not something they'd be willing to do or they would want to be asked to be done. But they don't. They exact from people stuff that they won't even put their finger to themselves. Because that's the way it is with ruling class and a servant class. But brotherly kindness means that you can't do that. You can't be like them. Brotherly kindness is that we come to a place in these virtues that we always put ourselves in our brother's shoes. To understand, like what I have out there posted out in the entryway, to take a man to God in prayer. So man's done you wrong, and you know he's done you wrong. No question about it. To take that brother to prayer before God and let God start speaking to you. And Brother Raymond says, because no mortal man can stand in the presence of God and condemn another man. Brotherly kindness. No one. Well, they did this. I don't care. Get in the presence of God and your attitude will change. See what I'm saying? We are accountable to this. God has asked us to be the bride of Jesus Christ. He's wanting to work this in us. He's given a message that will do it. Well, we have to clothe ourselves with it. We got to let these things work and seek God so that he can, because we can't do it ourselves, but he wants to put them there. And get to the place where we quit acting like we used to. That what we are is literally Jesus Christ expressing himself. Take that man to prayer, and he said, you can't stand there and condemn a man in the presence of God. And he said, God will start speaking to you, and you'll come back and be able to put your arm around that brother because you know what he's going through. And I've seen that. I've seen a couple of brothers get into a fuss that seemingly couldn't be, and I asked both of them to do that. I said, you go do it, and you go do it separately. And I never heard no more about it. Because if either one of them, if I say, you got a problem with someone, you go get in the presence of God and then come back and talk to me. And if you come back and you still got a bad attitude about that brother, you didn't get in the presence of God. Because he said, no man can stand in the presence of God and condemn another one. Right? You get there and let God start talking to you, and all of a sudden, this issue is not as big an issue as you thought. Right? That's what we have to do. We have to come to the place where we even know that death is looking at us in the face and we say, not my will, but thy will, Father. Even if that means I'm going to lose my house, my family, my everything, not my will, but thy will. Because remember, Jesus said, If you do not pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not even worthy, right? Right? Because it's a gospel of shame, a gospel of suffering that we have to be identified with because that's the way God redeems us. And we have to be identified with the suffering of our land. Man. And so brotherly kindness puts you into that place where you put yourself in your brother's shoes and you go with him anyhow. You help him anyway. Amen. It's not God not asking us just to rely on this stuff in our own thinking. He's asking you to let him live through you. Right. Because he can do that. You know, I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not trying to be sacrilegious. I'm trying to express it in yourself. Are you kidding me? You expect this guy to be able to sin against me 490 times a day and I'm supposed to take it? In your flesh, you don't think that, right? But if it's the Holy Ghost living in you, he knows all things. And he knows what that person's going through and what's causing that person to be that way. Amen. So that is brotherly kindness. And then, of course, after brotherly kindness comes charity, which is love. Let me read some quotes on that. The next thing, then, is you add charity, which is, I want you to hear what Brother Branham identifies all these things as, these quotes. Add charity, which is love, that's the capping stone. So in building this monument, talking about building this statue, a church that God will live in, or an individual that God will live in, and building this monument, or building this statue, see, it starts off with the foundation, stone of faith and virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And now what does it do? After you come to brotherly kindness, what does it do? Then we're waiting for the headstone, which is love. For God so loved. And he controls and he is the strength of every one of these things. That's right. So, Brother, I'm saying that all of these virtues, they need Christ to come and cap them off. They need Christ to come and seal them into your life. And so when he comes, he's love. And it takes a love, like we've read the quote where Brother Ben talks about, we thank God for all these gifts, but if they're not governed by love, they're not worth anything. Just like 1 Corinthians 13. Be able to speak with tongue of men and angels and all these things, but don't have charity, don't have love, we're not worth anything, see? And so this is the whole thing, that no matter all of what God does, as Brother Ram says in one place, you might speak in tongues and all these things, but if you don't have this, see? So no matter what happens in all our churches and in our lives, we've got to come to that place where it's sealed. That's the capping part. That's the thing that makes it the full stature of Jesus Christ. Until we get to that capping, we're not the full stature of Jesus Christ. Until the church has come to that, and as we as individuals come to that place, then we're not the full stature of Jesus Christ yet. Not saying we're not Christians. Not saying you're not saved. You are. But the whole thing is to come to that place where God has worked such an experience in our lives that he can take us and set us on that throne with him. Because we've got the character. We've got these seven virtues, and they are working. As Peter said, if these things be in you and abound, then they make you worthy. Now I'm paraphrasing. They make you worthy to sit on that throne. They make you worthy for a rapture to seal you in that condition. But until we get to that, like Brother Brim said, you pack the car, and if it don't ride, he won't seal it. A little bit of gossip, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He can't seal that. I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but you've not come to that stature of a perfect man yet.
Right.
And so he wants to continue to work and deal with our lives so that these things are there. And so then they're waiting for the headstone, which is love, for God loved. He's controlled, and he's the strength of all of these things. Yes, sir. So Christ comes down at that point, and he controls everything. And at that point, he can draw from you and use you in any capacity that he needs to, no matter what you go through. You've got the virtues there that God can express himself through. Christ comes down, and he seals those virtues in you. Brother Ram says, he brought his church up the same way he's bringing his people up. And Peter said the first thing, seven things, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love of God. The Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you, then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle, the living God's dwelling place. So brethren, is telling us here that Christ, once you reach that point, Christ comes and seals all those virtues in you, that makes you now the living tabernacle, the living God in his dwelling place. Because
right.
He told us, carpenters will tell you how to build a house, but I'm going to tell you how to build your spiritual house somewhere that Christ that God can come and live. And this is what he's talking about. To come and live in us in that manner. I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at that short, quick work and that body change. And you know, that because once we come to that point, then it comes. So he seals that in you. He said, now that's the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top and a high steeple, but a body thou hast prepared me. Remember the scriptures talking about Jesus? Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. See, all that Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, they couldn't take away sins, right? God had no pleasure in that. Why? Because there was something he wasn't going to have pleasure in, and that was a body that was prepared for him to come right down in and live in. And now Brother Branham is translating out all the way to our day and saying, a body thou hast prepared me. God wants a body to live in here at the end time that's going to stand up and be a people that's going to express him in all capacity. And so, a body thou hast prepared me, a body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in, amen. Living instrumentality of God, God walking on 2 feet in you, glory. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God, God walking in you, for ye are written epistles read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, then you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Amen?
Amen.
So this is what God wants. A body. An end time bride body of people that God can step into. Amen. That apparently from the foundation world has been preparing and working on just like Jesus Christ. Because she has to be a fitting bride to him. She probably, it was through everything he did, you know, just. So, once that capstone comes to that body, that makes that body a living being. A living being. And now when that happens, then the body can move because the head says so. Because Christ the capstone comes now, and all those virtues are sealed in there, and now that body can step when he wants to step, and he can talk when he wants to talk. But until that comes, we can't fully express him like that until we come to that. And we're in the hour where this is happening now. Brother Ram says, my feet moves. Why? Because the head says so. And now it can't move like my hand because my hand, or because it's my feet, excuse me. Luther can't do the things that we did, neither can the Methodist because they were something else, see? The feet moves because the head says so, and the head never says, now feet, you become hand or ear, you become eyes, but each age God has placed these things into his church, and patterned it by showing that each individual has these and possesses these qualities. And this being, he's talking about this being, meaning the church at the end time capped off, or an individual capped off. He said, and this being, when it's completed, this church, this being when it's completed, is the church of God going to rapture. Right? So this has to happen to go to rapture.
Right.
And this being, talking about the man, an individual, and this being and completing is a servant of God in the church of God that's going to rapture. I hope you're seeing my motions. The church versus the individual. This is the church, once they've come to this place, is a church going into rapture, and an individual that comes to this is a being that's in that church that's going into rapture. So we have to have it on an individual basis, just like the church does in a full basis, right?
Right.
Amen. There you are. Brother Wim says, is going in the rapture, glory. See what I mean? And there you are. There's the full thing. Brother Wim is telling us, there's the whole thing right there. that God will bring this church to an end time message, and he brings the individuals to the same thing, and those individuals are in that church, and they're all going in rapture, and that's the whole thing right there. Makes perfect sense to me.
Right.
I told Brother Daniel the day that this was on my heart to share that, and he smiled at me. He said that's what he'd been studying too. And I said, well, that's about right. It's the way it works. Amen. I have these quotes numbered. I have to make sure I don't get out of sequence here. Brother Graham tells us, he says, you know that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And these virtues, each one of them is a chain link. So he's telling us that even if you have, you know, faith and virtue and knowledge, but you don't have temperance very well, then it breaks. Or if you don't have brotherly kindness. So no matter how much you, see what I'm saying, you got to have all members of the body, everything functioning in order to be a completed being. And so if we're shy on one of these things, you say, well, I have faith and, you know, and all this, but I don't have brotherly kindness. I just don't seem to put myself in my brother's shoes. Well, then he can't do nothing with that because it's a chain that's got a weak link. So this is what he says. Be good for you to go listen to the sermon. So he doesn't leave any of these virtues out and say, well, it's okay, I don't really get it. No, they're all there and they need to be, they're required. They, God wants to have these in our walk and be able to do these things. And we should seek God till we begin to see these things, that they take place in us and have preeminence in us. Because this is Christ having preeminence in us. So he can marry us at the end. Capus. And so, chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Especially in order to sit on his throne. Brother Graham says, and the saints of past ages are waiting on us. Now listen to this. Brother Graham said there's more required. Obviously, here at the end time, there's more required. There's more required. He said, remember what Paul said over here in Hebrews 11? He said, let me just read that to you, read something to you before we go in just a minute. He said, it kind of makes you feel kind of strange when I read this. I'm going to get Hebrews 11. I'm going to start on the 32nd verse. So Brother Branham says, this scripture always makes me feel kind of strange. And probably us too. And that's where he talks about in Hebrews 11 that they did this, and by faith they died, and they, you know, stopped the quenched fires and the mouths of lions, and it did all these and suffered in caves and dens and all that. And all of them are not made perfect without us. How many has ever felt strange about reading that? Brother Bim said he did. I look at that and say, what? I have to come to a place to where they're not perfected until I come to where I'm supposed to be? But that's exactly what the scripture says. That don't even take a prophet at the end time to see that. But let them argue with that, people that don't believe an end time prophet. Then just argue with Paul then. Because Paul said it. And so, Brother Graham said, it kind of makes me feel. And he said, and he reads all that and he says, you get it? These people who died in here are depending and waiting on us. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. And there are under souls under the altar waiting for this church to come to perfection. That's when Christ does come. You follow that? So, and there's another quote we've quoted in the past where Brother Rem said it takes this message to resurrect the Lutherans and the Wesleyans and those down through the ages. That what God doing now brings a resurrection. Just like when Jesus come on the scene and when he acted out everything that he was supposed to act out, he brought a resurrection of the Old Testament saints. And now he's coming again, going to live in a fully mature bride that has all these virtues, and Christ in her, being him, could now bring the resurrection of all those that are through the church ages. That's a tall order, isn't it? But thank God, he's not asking us to do it. He's just asking us to let him do it. But you got to surrender. That's the thing. That's when Christ does come. And that's when the rapture will come. Now, Brother Ram starts talking about the pyramid. Remember the church building up in these attributes. And he says, and up here, when the pyramid cap does come, the pyramid itself, he said, the body of Christ will have to be honed, not only just some creed or doctrine or something, something other we come through. It'll have to be so perfect like Christ till when he comes, he and that ministry will fit right smack together, see, and then will come the rapture, the going home. Brother Ben talks about how that can't even put a razor blade between those stones. And so that when you leave the Laodicean age and you come to the bride age, there has to be such a move of God in the church at that time till that it's so much so perfectly like Christ that we'll just slide right out of that one right on into the capstone ministry and people won't even know it. Because you can't even, it's so fine, you stand back at distance, you probably couldn't even see when it ended Laodicea and started capstone, if you understand what I'm saying. And so God has to do such a work in our lives that we become so much like Christ until all of a sudden one day Christ is there, baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation.
Right.
And you don't, it's just like all of a sudden you turn around and look and there you are. I can tell you that something I needed to overcome in my life years ago. And like, will this ever, will I ever get victory over this in my life? And just kept fighting and kept trusting God and confessing and thanking him for making me an overcomer. And then all of a sudden some time went by and I turned around one day and I looked at and I'm like, it's gone. It's done. I don't have no problems with it. I'm an overcomer. You understand what I'm saying? That's at some point it becomes Christ. He just moves right in, and next thing you know, it's him. You're done. It's over with. And he can do that time and time again in your life. You just got to give it to him and stand firm and believe and have patience and trust in him that he'll do it because he said he would. And let these virtues direct you to stand pat until God brings Christ on the scene. So I want to show you that our whole lives will be capped off, but you can have little miniature struggles in capping off with Christ, because every time he comes, he's the capstone. And every time you're going through a trial and he caps it, then it's a finished thing. You understand? And so this is the stature of a perfect man. So that's when the rapture will come. This capstone, this end-time ministry, what God's doing in our life has to be perfect, just like Christ. So Brother M says, let me maintain that. I want to go back and read this here, what Peter said there just a minute ago. Wherefore, verse 10, he says, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, shall never fall. If these things, what? These virtues? Temperance, patience, godliness. So Peter's saying, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make these things sure. Right? These calling and election sure. Because if you ever get to the place where they're in them, you shall never fall. Amen. So Brother Ram said, let me maintain this. This that we're talking about. These virtues and this, our responsibility to come to the place where this is what we live. This is who we are. He said, let me maintain that. He said, lust for money, lust for big things, lust for popularity, these things are dead to the believer. So if you have a lust for money, if you have a lust for big things, you have a lust for popularity, it's not dead. You know what I'm saying? But these things are dead to a believer. We don't care a tent or a cottage Why should I care, live or die, sink or drown? This is the thing that I'm interested in, the kingdom of God. And whether I maintain my home, whether I maintain my family, whether I maintain whatever it is, let me maintain Christ, our hope and glory. He says, build me up, O Lord, into this. What we're talking about. Build me up into this image. All these virtues. Build me up, O Lord, into this, with a capital T. Let Christ be my head, that working through me, on my foundation of faith that's in him, let virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness work in me, O Lord, is my prayer. I don't care, live or die, sink or drown, denomination, no denomination, friend or no friend, let that work in me. Let Christ's virtue, his knowledge, flow out that I might be able to teach those. For God hath set forth in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, all for the perfecting and bringing all these virtues into it. So Brother Bram ties Ephesians 4 and the five-fold ministry that he's put those there to bring that church to this, these virtues, perfection, to the place that Christ can come. Perfect and bringing all these virtues into it for that perfection, for that perfection of the coming of the Son of God. Each one of those stones are material off of that one, him. So it's all, each one of these virtues is off of him. This is a material of this, because he's pointing, so I can't tell you what he's pointing to. Each one of these virtues belong to him, and they're pouring out of him down through them. Amen. So Brother Bram says, no matter what, whether I can maintain anything else, let me maintain that. So, no matter what comes our way, we may not be able to maintain our lifestyles and all the things. We don't know. We trust him. But there's one thing for sure. Let us maintain Christ. Let us maintain a walk where we're endeavoring diligently daily that God will bring these characters, these virtues, to the place where he can cap us, to where he can give us a body change. Not lusting for money and big things and popularity and all the things the world has to offer, because you're not going to find it out there. But let me maintain this. And Brother Branham ends by saying this. He says, I pledge this morning to him with all my heart that by his help and by his grace, I pray that I'll seek daily without ceasing until I feel every one of these requirements flowing in this little old stature of mine. Till I can be a manifestation of the living Christ. For he became sin like me, that I might become come righteousness of God like him. He took my place. Lord, let me take his now. Because that's the purpose he died for. How many will pledge the same thing by the grace of God? Congregation says amen. With our head bowed now and our hands up, I pledge, Lord, and this church pledges it, the full stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you see, that's where we're at. Amen. To constantly seek after God that these virtues could be in us. Because, brother, sister, back to the first thing I said, this world needs to see him. They don't need my opinion. They don't even need my opinion in the years that I've walked with the Lord. They don't even need that. They need Christ. Because that's the only thing that can change them. And we just have to commit it to him. Leave it all to him. Let him arrange it. Because I know that no matter what comes my way, as long as I can just be him, then it'll come out right. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. And, wow, I thought it was going to take me a lot longer to get through it. Y'all have been really good in the pool. And so let's just pray. Let the musicians come. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service now, we're looking at these things that we've shared. And I know from a natural standpoint, Lord, it would look like something that would be impossible. But as you have declared that all things are possible with God. And Lord, that's just all that we desire. I don't desire, Lord, to be anything wonderful, great, notable, anything like that. I just want to be what you want me to be, Lord. And I don't care about fame and fortune and great being known by great numbers of people. I just want to serve you and serve your people. And if it's on a small capacity, that's where I want to be, Lord. And I trust, Lord God, that your people here today and those that will be listening, that they will search their hearts and also begin to look into their lives. And may they find, God, that they don't want anything but just to be in that stature of your presence here on this earth. We ask, God, that you just reach out to each one. We pray, as I always ask, God, that you'd seal these things away in their hearts, that they not forget it, that Satan will not come along and steal it, but, Lord, that it begin to grow. May it not be choked out by thorns, but may it grow and become fruitful in their lives. Lord, we believe that our time is drawing nigh, and so, Lord, if we're only here just a few more hours or if we're here many, many, many years, we just want all of our remaining time here on this earth to be given to you. That these virtues, Lord, may we diligently seek after this. That these virtues would be strong and alive in us. We love you, Lord. We just ask that you bless each one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.